Hello, my name is Sigrun Gambarian. I'm the head of financial crime compliance for Binance. I've been detained by the Nigerian government for a month. I don't know what's going to happen to me after today.
This is a cell phone video that surfaced at the end of March. Tigran Gambarian had filmed it himself, secretly, with an iPhone.
Today I discovered that Nadine escaped. I have nothing to do with it. I was not involved in any of it.
Nadim Anjarwala. He was Binance's regional manager, one of Tigran's colleagues, and he'd been detained at the same time. The afternoon of that video, Tigran had woken up from a nap to find a post-it note. It was from Nadim. It said he was sorry, but he was making a break for it. Nadim had put pillows under the covers of his bed so the guards would think he was still there. Tigran had to break it to his captors that Nadim had escaped. The fact that Tigran Gambarian found himself in this kind of situation at all is not just tragic, it's also a little ironic, because not so long ago, he was one of the IRS's most celebrated cryptocurrency investigators. He worked with the FBI to follow the Bitcoin to people behind dark markets like Alpha Bay and Silk Road. He helped roll up dirty cops. And then, when he left the IRS a few years ago to join Binance, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world, he became a kind of liaison between international law enforcement and the company. He actually taught investigators to do what he did, to find the bad guys inside cryptocurrency markets. And then the Nigerians grabbed him, took away his passport, and now he faces tax fraud and money laundering charges, not because of anything he did, but because of the company he works for, Binance.
I've done nothing wrong. I've been a cop my whole life. And I asked the United States government to assist me. I need your help, guys. I don't know if I'll be able to get out of this without your help. Please help.
I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and this is Click Here, a podcast about all things cyber and intelligence. We tell true stories about the people making and breaking our digital world. And today, we follow up on our earlier story about Tigran Gambarian and the problem with being a company man when the company you work for is Binance. Tigran has been detained in Nigeria since February, and there seems to be little anyone is doing about it. His secret video, the one he recorded in late March, ricocheted around the rank and file in U.S. law enforcement, and agents, and really anyone working overseas, found themselves asking a very stark question. What if this happened to me?
You're leaving a law enforcement officer, even though he's out of the game, kind of hanging. We can't believe they're not doing anything.
Or at least as Tigran enters his third month of captivity, the agents are saying the U.S. government isn't doing nearly enough. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Adam Fleming from the Global Story podcast from the BBC World Service. We are looking at Lina Khan, the face of the US government's battle to regulate big tech. She's already redefined the way we talk about monopolies. Now she's taking on the likes of Amazon and Meta. But who is she and will she win? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
I got breaking news right now regarding Binance.
Last fall, Binance was at the center of a different breaking news story.
Hey, Scott, so Binance and its CEO plan to strike a plea deal.
The CEO of Binance, a guy named Changpeng Zhao. And he was in the middle of a stunning announcement. He'd worked out a plea deal with the Department of Justice to plead guilty to a roster of charges, from tax evasion to money laundering to violating the U.S. Bank Secrecy Act.
CZ is scheduled to appear in a Seattle federal court this afternoon to enter his plea Binance.
He agreed to surrender his passport and pay a $50 million fine. Binance was fined $4.3 billion. The announcement rocked the crypto world, and looking back on it, may have planted the seeds of an idea in the minds of some officials in Nigeria.
I knew that CZ, as a lot of the industry knows him, was sort of a cult-like figure. He wasn't...
This is Jacob Silverman, and he wrote a book with Ben McKenzie called Easy Money: Cryptocurrency, Casino Capitalism, and the Golden Age of Fraud. And it's safe to say he's a bit of a cryptocurrency skeptic, partly because of people like CZ.
I think within the industry, he was fairly respected because he had built very rapidly the biggest crypto exchange in the world.
CZ wasn't your typical buttoned-up banker type.
CZ had a reputation for, you know, to use the old Zuckerberg phrase, move fast and break things.
And Jacob said there was always a whiff of something not quite on the up and up about him. Like, CZ would never come to the U.S. He lived in the UAE, but he was from Canada.
People wondering, you know, what is this guy up to in Dubai?
Though Jacob said that was kind of par for the course in the crypto world. A little mystery, a habitual shaving of corners.
The existing rules, especially the existing rules around banking and how money moves, shouldn't really apply. And that's certainly what animated a lot of that overseas growth of crypto, especially in East Asia and in Africa, which is this notion that we should be able to move money wherever we want to without really much heed for how we're doing it or how much we're sending it or to whom.
Which is at least part of Nigeria's beef with Binance. Nigeria has the second largest cryptocurrency adoption rate in the world, after India, and its cryptocurrency transactions topped $56.7 billion last year. That's according to Chainalysis, a company that tracks things like that. And one of the reasons Tigran had gone to Nigeria in the first place was to discuss how anti-corruption officials there could track transactions on the platform. He was teaching them how to do it, cop to cop. The Justice Department said Zhao prioritized Binance's growth, market share, and profits over U.S. law, that he facilitated billions of dollars in cryptocurrency transactions, but did so without adhering to some of the most basic financial rules, like implementing anti-money laundering protocols, or adhering to something as fundamental as what's called the Know Your Customer procedures, or KYC, which requires financial institutions to know who their customers are, so they'd know if someone was doing something shady.
For several years after Binance first opened in 2017, you could register a Binance account with absolutely no KYC, just an email address and a password. And CZ knew that they were flagrantly in violation of Know Your Customer and anti-money laundering laws and regulations.
Which was something Nigerian officials glommed onto as well. Soon after they grabbed Tigran, they asked Binance for all the Nigerian transaction data. Then they asked for information on the top 100 users. They accused Binance of manipulating the exchange rate of the local currency and said they couldn't account for billions of dollars in transactions, all of which Binance has disputed. They just seem to be holding Tigran responsible for the same sorts of things that the Justice Department had laid at the feet of the company's CEO. It's clear from the DOJ indictment that CZ had complete disregard for the rules. The indictment provided countless instances of that.
You had, for example, employees of Binance joking about the price of an AK-47 and as if they knew it, and about in the context of a conversation of terrorist groups using Binance. So I think the company definitely had, at least at the top levels, had a sense that some pretty bad people were using the platform.
But Tigran had gone to Binance to try to help remedy that, to help regulators the world over find those bad guys. But instead, at least in Nigeria, he was being tarred with the same brush as the company's former CEO, They weren't making a distinction between a chief executive who was calling the shots and a middle manager who was not. Attorney General Merrick Garland was blunt when he announced the CZ plea.
Using new technology to break the law does not make you a disruptor. It makes you a criminal.
We spoke to people close to Tigran's case in both the U.S. and Nigeria. And there's something else they think might have caught the eye of Nigerian officials. As part of the plea agreement, Binance agreed to pay that record $4.3 billion fine as restitution to the U.S. government.
I mean, that's one of the biggest fines, if not the biggest, in U.S. corporate history. So I think that indicates kind of the gravity of the situation and maybe also the amount of money sloshing around.
It doesn't seem like a coincidence that days after Nigerian officials detained Tigran and Nadim, they mused in the local press about billion-dollar fines that Binance may have to pay Nigeria. The timing of all of this is important. CZ's plea and the record-breaking fine were announced at the end of November. And just a short time later, Tigran went to Nigeria on the first of two trips he took this year. On that January trip, he was going to meet with lawmakers and anti-corruption regulators with the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, or EFCC.
More of a training event with the EFCC and meeting with them. I mean, and this is a thing that he does and did quite a bit.
This is Matt Price. He worked with Tigran at the IRS and later actually joined him at Binance for a couple of years. He did these kinds of training trips a lot.
I've done it quite a bit. Our other colleagues have done, where you come in and talk to law enforcement people. It's usually a soft approach and you're trying to build relationships and trying to train them how to do crypto investigations.
Tigran was there to teach the Nigerian regulators how to track crypto transactions, to find bad guys. And there were actually signs during that first training trip in January that something was amiss. A Nigerian official allegedly took someone from the Binance team aside during that early January trip and said Nigerian regulatory authorities were planning an investigation of the company. They believe they were evading taxes and laundering money. And the cost of settling the company's legal problems, they were told, would be some $150 million.
Obviously, Tigran said, shit, I gotta get out of here.
He texted me saying that, hey, this is just a heads up, but things are not going well right now and we might get detained. So I was aware of it.
This is Yuki Gambarian, Tigran's wife. Tigran immediately canceled his appointments and hopped on a plane back to the United States. Just a month later, he got an invitation from the government to meet with regulators again. And Tigran told Yuki and his friends that he felt he had an obligation to go.
So when he went this time, were you worried?
I was. 100%. Everybody was.
The legal case against Tigran is about more than just trying to hold Binance and the cryptocurrency industry to account. There's a larger context. Nigeria is in the midst of a full-blown economic crisis. And according to Feyi Fawahimni, a Nigerian scholar who's been writing about Nigerian economic and political affairs for more than a decade, the government is looking to blame someone for its economic problems.
People who wanted simple answers simply turn on them and say, oh, okay, this economy is struggling, nobody has dollars, the dollar rate has jumped so significantly, and so really, is it Binance that's causing all of this?
The numbers tell the story. Inflation in Nigeria is now well over 30%. Food prices are up even more than that. And the local currency, the Naira, has declined by some 40% since the beginning of the year. Just to keep up with inflation, Nigerians are flocking to cryptocurrencies, things like stablecoins, which are pegged to the US dollar. And they're doing a lot of that crypto trading between themselves on the Binance platform. And that's been angering Nigeria's central bank.
The central bank wants to maintain some kind of control on the foreign exchange rate in terms of how much the Naira depreciates. Crypto has essentially become a a platform outside of his control, but we...
Of course, using stable currencies to maintain spending power isn't new. Traditionally, people living in developing countries with dicey economies bought U.S. dollars to protect their money. But now they can load up on cryptocurrency because it's so easy to buy and sell. They don't have to go to some back alley with a fistful of dollars. They just have to log onto a cryptocurrency platform from their mobile phones and sign into their accounts. All of this is done without the central bank involved at all.
From that point of view, the central bank has then considered this a big challenge for itself that, you know, we want to maintain a grip on exchange rate. However, crypto is making life difficult for us because people are trading with each other and they're able to set rates for themselves there.
And you can't really blame the people, so you blame the platform.
Exactly.
These are unpopular people, right? So Binance, nobody likes Binance. The US government doesn't like them. The UK government doesn't like them. Everyone is suspicious of them as a crypto platform across the world.
So they were kind of the perfect target. And Feiyi says someone made a calculation.
Probably made a calculation that, you know, if we go after these people, nobody is going to really fight for them.
And by them, he means Tigran, who had given Binance a human shape. He'd become a shorthand, not just for crypto and all the problems that it caused in Nigeria, but for Binance too. They didn't have the CEO, so they'd settle for a compliance officer. But it turns out that Nigeria isn't alone in failing to see the difference between Tigran and the company he works for. The U.S. government appears to be doing that too. Stay with us.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
The State Department seemed to finally turn to Tigran's case in earnest in mid-March, and Yuki, Tigran's wife, said someone from the U.S. Embassy in Abuja started visiting him.
I have a point of contact. They visited him 6 times, I would say, while he was in the detention center.
The detention center. That's the government compound where Tigran was initially being held. He was there when he secretly filmed himself in that cell phone video.
And then I believe they visited him once ever since he was moved to Kuje.
Kuje. It's a prison just outside the capital.
Did your point of contact seem like businesslike or sympathetic?
that is a good question. They seem kind of out of touch to me. They don't seem to understand our sense of urgency.
Our contacts at the State Department didn't want to go on the record, but they claim that the department doesn't like to interfere with legal proceedings in other countries. Though they also said that Binance wasn't just any company. And then they cited the CZ case. Then they added that cryptocurrency companies more generally are under a bit of a cloud, not just because of the CZ indictment, but because of the parade of cases against the industry more generally.
But SEC is accusing Coinbase of operating since 2019 without having registered with the regulator.
Just moments ago, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in federal prison. He was found guilty.
And they aren't wrong. This has been a bad year for cryptocurrency companies. The SEC and Justice Department seem to be announcing new cases every couple of weeks. So in a way, the optics are just really bad. So how do you separate the company man from the company How do you help Tigran Gambarian without looking like you're helping Binance? At the end of March, after Tigran had been in Nigerian detention for over a month, his case was flagged at the Criminal Division's Office of International Affairs. That's the Justice Department's primary expert body on international criminal matters. There was a note attached that said, "Who's working this?" It's unclear what the response was. But more than a dozen current and former FBI and IRS agents we spoke with all seemed to agree that Tigran's case seemed to be moving incredibly slowly. Would U.S. officials be so hands-off if it was an ExxonMobil or Apple executive who was suddenly detained overseas? And in this case, a lot of law enforcement people knew Tigran, knew he'd given decades of his life to catch bad guys for the U.S. government. And more than one agent said to me, "So why aren't they helping?" Tigran was held under guard without charge in a government guest house for about a month before he was actually charged. The indictment accused him of tax evasion and money laundering, the very same kind of charges Binance's CEO had pleaded guilty to. Yuki said Tigran called her on the day of the arraignment.
On the arraignment day, you know, when he was gonna move to the prison, he was actually allowed to use his phone very briefly. So he called me directly. He was allowed to do it.
He said he was going to be transferred to Kuja, a prison right outside the capital.
He was very weirdly calm about it. I got the impression that he was just numb about this whole thing at this point. He was kind of desensitized. And so was I.
Does he feel forsaken?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel.
Tell me about that.
Well, so in late March, I would say, there was a congressional delegation in Abuja. Cory Booker was there. Sarah Jacobs was there. They were there to discuss religious freedom and democracy or something like that with the president. So I obviously reached out to them.
She emailed his staffers to see if he might be able to help with Tigran.
I didn't ask them to just, you know, please just convince the president to let my husband go. I was not that unrealistic. I just emailed them, asked them to just mention him in however way possible.
Crickets.
And none of them responded to me. Like, they could have just said, like, "Hey, we are here for a different matter. I understand that you're desperate, but there's nothing we could do about it." They could have just said that.
Do you know if they got it?
I emailed, like, so many people. I emailed some other people who were not there, but who could reach them and relay the message, basically. But, yeah, none of them said anything.
We reached out to Representative Jacobs and Senator Booker's offices numerous times for comment. And, kind of like Yuki, all we got was crickets. The only sort of official email that went out that we were able to uncover came from a special agent in the Cyber Crimes Unit in D.C. It was sent to a small group of agents, nearly all of whom either knew Tigran well or had worked with him. Two people who'd seen the email described its contents as mentioning that Tigran had been detained and that he would always be part of the law enforcement family. There was no mention of elevating this up the chain of command, only a suggestion that everyone keep Yuki and Tigran in their thoughts and prayers.
I guess the best word for me would be is a sad.
This is John Baker. He was at the IRS with Tigran and retired from the government a couple of years ago. And he told us what a lot of agents we spoke to said on background.
You know, originally I was thinking, oh, you know, he's well, so well known, so well regarded, that, you know, somehow the United States would get involved to kind of figure out what's going on, you know, be it friends in the various agencies, including the FBI or the U.S. Attorney's Office. But sounds like most people don't even know or haven't heard.
So it seems like he's become a bit of a third rail, that if you help Tigran, somehow you're helping crypto.
Yeah, and I'd hope that people could separate the two. You know, we're dealing with people. Go after the companies and the people making the decisions. But when we're dealing with people who are, you know, middle management, employees, people who have no way to make a decision other than receive a paycheck, that's crazy to me.
Of course, Binance's former CEO and Tigran's cases are nothing alike. But authorities in both countries seem unable to see the distinction. And in Nigeria, it seems they saw an opportunity instead.
So we are in conversation with the Nigeria government.
This is Binance's new CEO, Richard Tang. Bloomberg News asked him about Tigran at a cryptocurrency conference in Dubai last week.
Our key priority is to get Tigran home safely, right? So Tigran is a person of the highest integrity, highest professional. I think people that knows him knows that he has worked his, he has devoted his entire lifetime previously with U.S. agencies and now as our head of financial crime, working with global law enforcement agencies to fight illicit crime and fight financial crimes. We are giving him and his family all the support needed. And our key priority, our prayers, is to bring Tigran home safely as soon as possible.
Given all of this, you could be forgiven for asking why Tigran returned to Nigeria after there was that close call in January. Hindsight is always 20/20. But when the Nigerian government invited him back for that fateful February meeting, Tigran thought he could fix it, which former IRS agent Matt Price says is just very Tigran.
He believed he could solve it. Knowing Tigran's personality, I certainly could see him believing he would be the only one that could fix it.
Tigran was supposed to have a bail hearing in Nigeria on April 18th. And then it was suddenly postponed. CZ, the former Binance CEO who took the plea, he's supposed to be sentenced on April 30th. He's facing up to 18 months in prison under federal sentencing guidelines, but prosecutors have said they may be asking for a stiffer sentence. This is Click Here. Here are some of the top cyber and intelligence stories of the past week.
Senators voting in the affirmative. Barrasso, Bennett.
Early Saturday, the Senate approved a two-year extension of a warrantless surveillance law known as Section 702.
The bill is passed.
It's part of the Foreign Surveillance Act, or FISA, that security officials say they need to help them prevent terrorist attacks and battle threats in cyberspace. Privacy advocates have long sought a requirement that authorities get some kind of warrant before collecting information on foreign suspects, but lawmakers defeated an amendment that sought to do that. Also last week, Sandworm, one of Russia's most infamous state-backed hacking groups, has been officially deemed an Advanced Persistent Threat Actor, or APT. The group got its name because its hackers tended to put references to Frank Herbert's Dune series in its code. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie or read the series, the sandworms are giant monsters of the desert. Mandiant, Google's cybersecurity arm, said it was elevating Sandworm to APT status because, according to its new research, Sandworm has been behind nearly all the cyber attacks leveled against Ukraine over the past decade, from the assaults on the country's power grid to the epic 2017 NotPetya attack. Mandiant researchers said they also found evidence that Sandworm has helped form a hacktivist group called the Cyber Army of Russia Reborn, which is thought to be behind an attack on a water facility in Texas late last year.
Meta shares dropping 4% today, while Apple fell 1%.
Apple said it pulled Meta's WhatsApp and Thread apps from its app store in China after China's internet regulator, the Cyberspace Administration, ordered their removal. The Chinese also asked that Signal, which is based in the U.S., and Telegram, based in Dubai,
be removed as well. Apple said it pulled them because they are obliged to follow the laws of the countries in which they operate. China's demand comes as lawmakers in the U.S. are moving closer to forcing the Chinese company ByteDance to sell its popular video app TikTok or risk having it banned in the U.S. And finally, the world's most beloved human-shaped robot has danced its last dance. Atlas, a robot whose claim to fame was a groovy two-step and impressive backflips, has retired. In a farewell video on Wednesday, the company behind the robot, Boston Dynamics, posted a sizzle reel of Atlas showing off its best moves and Atlas's best robotic wipeouts. But never fear, a new Atlas model is coming soon, and this one will be all electric and commercially available. The company said instead of moving like an awkward arthritic human, the joints on the new Atlas will swivel and spin, something like out of The Exorcist.
Today's episode was produced by Sean Powers, Kat Shuknecht, and me, Jade Abdul-Malik. It was edited by Karen Duffin, fact-checked by Darren Ankrum, and contains original music by Ben Livingston, with some other music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our staff writer is Lucas Riley, and our illustrator is Megan Goff. Click Here is a production of Recorded Future News. Tune in on Friday for Mic Drop, which features our favorite interview of the week, and we'll have a new episode of Click Here on Tuesday. See you then.
Looking for more of the cybersecurity and intelligence coverage you get on Click Here? Then check out our sister publication, The Record, from Recorded Future News. You'll get breaking cyber news from reporters in New York, Washington, London, and Kyiv, among others. And you'll see for yourself why it attracts hundreds of thousands of page views every month. Just go to therecord.media.